calling to order the KPFA local station board meeting of Saturday, December 14th. And I'm going to ask for roll call.
December 14th, KPFA local station board meeting, roll call, Sharon Adams.
Here.
Sharon Adams here. Ahmad Anderson asks for excused absence. Marilla Arguelles. Marilla absent. Daniel Borgstrom.
Here.
Daniel here.
Can you get that?
William Campisi. William Campisi absent. Chris Corey. Chris Corey.
Oh, are you on your way?
Chris Corey.
Maybe he's on his way. It is.
Okay. I'm going to hold that absent for now. Okay.
Is that Sabrina?
Yeah.
Okay. Brian Crowell asked for an excused absence. Susan De Silva. Susan De Silva here. Shira Dudman will be calling in electronically.
I don't hear yet.
Yeah. Donald Goldmacher.
Here.
Donald Goldmacher is calling electronically. Christina Huggins.
Here.
Christina is here. Sabrina Jacobs.
She's on her way. She just called.
Okay, I'm coming back to Sabrina. Lily Kimura asked for an excused absence. Tim Lynch.
He's on his way.
He's on the phone, on my way there.
Tim Lynch is...
He's here. He's on
the phone. Okay. Quincy McCoy will be coming in January for his general manager's report. James McFadden. James McFadden here. Darlene Pagano. Darlene Pagano here. Noni Session. Noni Session absent. Frank Sterling.
Here.
Frank Sterling here. Aki Tanaka. Aki Tanaka here. Andrea Turner. Andrea Turner absent. Tom Voorhees.
Here.
Tom Voorhees here. Carol Wolf-Leamy here. Richard Walensky asked for... Is Richard here?
No.
Okay. Absent. And Steve Zeltzer? Absent. Okay, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. We have a quorum.
Thank you. And just a second. So we need, wanted to approve the agenda.
Move to approve the agenda.
Oh, sorry. As I was, didn't notice that. We have public comments.
Yeah, it says approve agenda first.
Oh, I thought you said you just.
I moved to approve.
I don't
agenda.
Know.
Oh, you moved to approve it. Okay, move to approve the agenda. Do I have a second?
Yeah.
All those in favor of approving the agenda? The agenda is approved. Now we would have time for public comments. Are there any public comments?
Yeah. Anthony, you can use either this mic or this mic. Got to turn it on.
Well, happy new LSB year.
I'm Anthony Fest. I did news for 20 years, and I was on this board for three terms. Now, imagine for a moment if some words were going to be carved over the front door of KPFA. What words would they be? I submit, given the way programming has gone in the last 10 to 15 years, the most appropriate words would be same old, same old. So much has stayed the same in 15 years, even while the Bay Area is changing and the media world is turned upside down. Most of the programs are hosted by the same people, and they air at the same time, and they've been around for decades on end. In fact, to the extent that there's been any change, it's mostly been regression, not forward progress, because the most innovative, creative, and establishment-confronting programs have tend to be kicked off the air. I'm thinking of The Morning Mix. I'm thinking of Guns and Butter, Twitwit, Counterspin, the syndicated show, discrete music, and music of the world. Once was 10 hours, then cut to 5 hours, then cut to 2 hours, whereas it ought to be the foundation of the music programming. So it's not a pretty picture, and there's too many communities as well that are missing. They're covered barely or not at all. There's no program for youth, no program for seniors, no program for the LGBT community. There's all of 1 hour for Asian and Asian American communities, plural. And I don't know how many people know this, but Asian and Asian American people are now the plurality ethnic group in this county, in Alameda County. And they've been the plurality ethnic group in Santa Clara County for 5 years or so. So the two largest counties in the state have Asian American plurality populations, and KPFA devotes all of 1 hour a week to Asian and Asian American communities. There's 2 hours for deadheads, 1 hour for Asian and Asian American people. That just isn't adding up.
Thank you.
We need some agitation.
Thank you, Anthony. We do for okay. We can now. Carol's going to sing a song for us. No, we make a motion, and I know Carol Wolfley sent out the minutes from June, August, and October that we ran over, and we weren't able to. Oh, not the cab report. I'm sorry. Cab report, and I know Marianne is here, so to give our cab report.
And I wanted to just also introduce the CAB report by saying that we have, that local station board has received a number of applications for nominations for the CAB report, and we would like to review the direction that we want the CAB to go in and also to go over those applications in January. Thanks.
I'm Mary Ann Thomas with the CAB, Community Advisory Board, and I want to thank Carol for just giving my report. I was really only going to say we aren't meeting next week, which would have been the fourth Saturday we meet at the Grassroots House, so if anyone wants to come to a CAB meeting, we certainly would appreciate you there and your input. We are not meeting in December, but we will be meeting in January. And as Carol said, we will hopefully by that time expand the CAB, because we currently only have four people on the CAB, and we certainly should have a more robust CAB. So if anyone knows anyone who would like to be on the CAB, maybe didn't make it to the LSB, then please have them put in their nomination, and you guys will be voting on it in the January LSB meeting, we hope, because it requires your input. And if you don't review it next, yeah, we will have two CAB members instead of four. That's my report.
Okay, thank you for your...
I need to reapply. So you go on the web, and there's an application form and procedures. That's all I know because I haven't read the procedures. KPFA.org. Down at the bottom, I think there's some stuff about the cab. And I've seen the application because I filled it out 3 years ago, but not recently, so I'm not sure exactly where on the web page it is. But, yeah, thank you for the question. Anybody else?
Okay, thank you, Marianne. And now we need to approve the minutes for June, August, and October. I know Carol Wolfley sent them out electronically. I hope everybody had a chance to review them. Do I have a motion to review the minutes for those 3 months?
So moved.
All those in favor?
Aye.
No,
and Tim. And all those opposed? Abstentions? Okay. Certainly.
Thank you. I wanted to ask a question about the June meeting minutes, as I didn't have time to look through them. And there was a vote in the draft meeting minutes that was distributed several months ago that showed a vote on a meeting that didn't occur. Did that get removed from the meeting minutes?
Yeah.
Yes, it did.
Okay.
Thank you. Motion, so the minutes are approved. We'll move forward. And I want to thank all of the people who are leaving the board. I don't know if any of them are here. It's like, I think they realize they missed their 15 minutes of fame here. It's like, anyway, I do want to thank them. This is volunteer to the community that people do, and it's valuable, and we're all here because we do care about KPFA Radio and Pacifica. And I want to thank the people who left the board for their service. And now we will seat the new board.
Meeting. We're upstairs today.
Come back in here.
I got stuff in here. I'll be up right up.
Would you please do the new roll call?
Roll call for the new board, newly elected board for KPFA Local Station Board, December 14th, 2019. Sharon Adams.
Here.
Sharon Adams. Here. Ahmad Anderson. Asked for an excused absence. Marilyn Langlois.
Here.
Marilyn Langlois here.
Sabrina.
Daniel Borgstrom.
Here.
Daniel Borgstrom present. Christine Pepin.
Present.
Christine present. Chris Corey. Absent. Mark Van Lunt. Lant. Mark is... on his way, I believe, but I'm going to leave that blank for right now. Susan DeSilva? Susan DeSilva here. Shira Dedman, I'm going to leave it blank because she will be calling in. Donald Goldmacher?
Here.
Donald, present electronically. Christina Huggins?
Here.
Christina here. Karina Stenquist? Is that how you say it?
Thank you. Okay, Karina here. James McFadden.
Here.
James McFadden here. Noni Session. Noni Session absent. Aki Tanaka.
Here.
Aki Tanaka here. Just in time. Andrea Turner.
Present.
Andrea Turner present. Tom Voorhees.
Here.
Tom Voorhees present. Carol Wolfley present. Sabrina Jacobs.
Here.
Sabrina Jacobs here. Darlene Pagano.
Here.
Tim Lynch.
Here.
Tim Lynch here. Frank Sterling.
Here.
Frank Sterling here. Janine Etter.
Here.
Janine's here. Philip Muldari.
Here.
Philip Muldari here. So I'm going to temporarily mark absent, and then I'll cross it off later. And Shira, I'll mark absent, and then we'll see if they get here. We'll change it.
Okay.
We have quorum.
Thank you. And thank you to our new board members. It's good to see new faces here. Thank you for being here.
I'd like to make a...
Motion to select me interim chair.
You,
Sabrina. Do we want to make a motion?
What's this? No, no. She have the agenda. Okay, extra agenda. Can I have another agenda, please?
Yeah.
You gave me this, which is for you.
We need a motion to.
Okay, there you go. There's some extra ones.
Motion to excuse the.
Motion to excuse people who have excused absences.
Do I have a all those in favor? Anyone opposed? Abstentions? It passes. They're excused. Okay. It's done.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion to select and nominate Christina Huggins as interim chair.
All those on the motion, all those in favor, raise your hands.
Mm-hmm.
And Donald?
Was there Donald?
Yes.
14.
Okay. Any opposed? I guess it couldn't be, could they? They're all okay. So I accept. I was going to leave, but now I have to stay. Okay. So.
Motion to approve the agenda.
Okay. All those in favor, raise your hand.
Discussion.
Oh, discussion.
Discussion?
Sure.
Is that on?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Thank you, Mrs. Chair. I would like to make a motion to move agenda item number 17 after agenda item number 12.
Please write that down.
Write that down.
Yeah.
And then?
And send
give
it
to
up
Carol.
To us. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you go after number 12. 17 to after 12.
Okay.
So,
thank you. Any more discussion on that motion?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm concerned with that because we have some things that we really need to get done at this meeting that will be important for going forward as a body. We need to determine our upcoming dates and make some decisions and get some sign-ups for other things and treasurer's report. So we need to keep it where it is if we can.
Tim?
Having read the topic, I'd move to just leave it off the agenda altogether. My motion is to strike number 17 completely off the agenda.
Point of personal privilege. Point of personal privilege. What does 17 consist of? It's pretty ambiguous.
There's not been a second, so I don't have to
been
the
second.
Tim, would you write it down? Or are we not there yet?
Do we have a second?
We need
a
Need a second.
Okay, there's a second.
Okay, great.
Can he use your pen?
No.
Okay.
Well, okay, yes for now, but then I need it back. I mean, I'm sorry. I just have it. Okay, I even have an extra one. Okay, something for the whole. Is it off?
I'd like to... I don't know if I'm on. I'd like to call the question, the original question. Let's just do it and let's just move along. No. Okay, whichever question can be called, that's the one I'd like to call. Okay, Tim's agenda, his motion is to strike the motion concerning PNB directors. We have a second on that. Is there more discussion on that motion?
Yeah.
James?
Chris Corey is here.
And no, Chris Corey just arrived.
It seems to me that there's been a lot that's gone on in the last 6 months involving the PNB directors, and it's worthy of this body to have a discussion about those events and to see if these behaviors and the results were effective and useful. And I think it's a very worthwhile thing to have that kind of discussion. If you just don't ever have this kind of discussion, everybody will live in their little silos and never move out of their silos. And it's really this kind of dialogue is very important so that we as a body know how to move forward, know what the ground rules are for those movements. As far as I know, there's nothing that's... particularly, under this, as far as I know, there's nothing in here that's going to be particularly detrimental to the effectiveness of this body. And so I think it's a worthwhile thing to move forward. We haven't heard why this should be removed from the agenda. There's been no reason given. And I think there should be a reason given if we're going to try to vote to remove an item from the agenda, especially since we don't even exactly know what this is because it just says motion concerning PNB directors. Okay? Finished.
A microphone. You got to turn the mic on.
Once we second the motion, then we will discuss it. It's not that anybody's refusing to discuss it. We just have reached that point, and there we are. So, and the other, never mind. I'll go on the stack.
Well,
she did call the question, so it requires a two-thirds vote to call the question.
Two-thirds vote to call. Which question are we calling?
Point of order.
I have a point of order, Madam Secretary. I'm sorry, Chair. Okay, my point of order is that the motion, I believe, is a violation of our agreements. There was a motion sent to me that is a violation of our group agreements because there was a statement made about another person that did not include factual information documentation. And so I would ask that this body not consider that motion because I believe it's a violation of our agreements, and we are going to be going over the agreements.
Okay, the question's been called. All those in favor of the question is on the motion made by Tim to strike the motion to strike the motion concerning PMB directors from the agenda. So let's have a little order. It is amendment. It's an amendment to the motion. So
please don't call.
Please, all those in favor of. Okay, yes. Right, to strike number 17. So all those in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand. Calling the question to vote on. Okay, how many people?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
All those opposed?
Wait, anyone online?
Yes, Donald is in favor.
12.
Thank you.
Shira's in favor.
13.
Oh, hi, Shira.
Hi.
Okay, good to hear your voice, Shira. Okay, so that makes 13. All those opposed?
Okay. 7. It's not 2/3. Okay.
Okay, discussion will take place.
On Tim's motion.
On Tim's motion. And James was next, I think. No, we had, no, it was Christine was next.
Now it's on. I just wanted to echo what James was saying. I think it's very important to get to that agenda item, and especially as a new LSB member, I think that would give me a good perspective of what's going on. And we really do need to, you know, to ramp up on all that have been happening. So I think that would be very important to discuss it. And as he says, I think that's the only. Well, not the only one, but one of the major agenda item on the agenda. The rest is, of course, interesting as well, but I think this is what these types of meeting are about. It is to discuss those items, so I'm looking forward to it. Thank you.
And Marilyn was next, and then Sharon.
Yeah, thank you. I'll echo what Christine said. I think it's important when members of this board bring forward, go to the trouble to prepare and bring forward agenda items that we at least hear them. I'm sure that, you know, we will be soon reviewing the group agreements. I'm quite confident that when we get to this agenda item, which was brought by James, James will be very scrupulous in following all the group agreements and everything that is connected to that. Motion, and we should ask him to do so because I think the agreements are important. But I do think it's important when members of this body have issues that really affect our station and our network and are of great interest to all of them that we not stifle them and quash them, but we let them be heard. Thank you.
My comment is that nobody's trying to squash anything. It's on the agenda. And you may learn that trying to amend the agenda takes a lot of time that can be used to actually discuss items like this. So if we had just approved the agenda, we'd already be through our group agreements and probably on to other items. My point is it sometimes takes more time to approve or modify an agenda item than to just go through and do it. Nobody is trying to suppress James' motion. That's why it's on the agenda. And I, again, call for a vote on Tim's item and then on the other item.
Thank you, Sharon. Okay, everyone, people in favor of Tim's motion, please.
Sorry.
Yes.
Question, can you just restate? This is to strike it from the agenda, right?
That's to strike it from the agenda. It's pretty.
You just said no interest.
That's how it works. It's wobbly.
So just don't yell out. So, yeah, we're just going to go ahead and vote on the motion to strike. That's what we're voting on right now. So all those in favor of striking that from the agenda, raise your hand.
About that phone?
7. And Shira?
Probably Donald.
And Donald?
I'm in favor of striking. I think this is just meeting 30 too long.
Thank you. And Donald?
Thank you. And Donald?
Yeah, I'm in favor of striking as well.
9
9 to strike. All those opposed, striking. So the motion fails to strike. Now we're going to go ahead and vote on moving it up on the agenda. All those in favor of moving it up on the agenda, raise your hands.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
All those opposed?
1, 2, 3, 4. I'm opposed.
7, 8, 9, 10, 11. And I am opposed as well.
And Sure and Donald. Okay. Okay. The motion fails to move it up. So we're moving right along on the agenda then? The motion fails to move it up. Okay, we've approved the agenda. Moving right along. Now we're going to go through the nominations and election of the chair, the vice chair, secretary, and treasurer. And do you want to state who the nominations are, have been for, Carol?
Oh, quickly. And could someone raise their hand when they say their name just so we all know the face and the name?
Thank you.
Okay, the nominations, we will do these each separately. I will say the color, and we will write down the nominations. So we will go through first with chairperson. Christina Huggins was nominated as chair. Yes. Are any other nominations for chair? Yeah. Okay, so Marilyn Langlois. Marilyn, did you accept the nomination? And Christina, you accepted. No, for the PNB, you don't have to be a year on the board to be chair. Okay.
But could I make a comment?
Okay. Okay, please. Susan.
So you can be brand new to be any of these officers, so everybody here is eligible to run. I believe at the next meeting we're going to elect PMB members. You cannot be a PMB member unless you've been on this board for a year, and also you cannot be a PMB member if you are one of the officers of this. Is that right? So
yeah, you can't be an officer and a PMB member. So if somebody is an officer, they have a choice.
Right. So I just wanted everyone to know that. People who want to run for officers here, that precludes them from being a member of the national board.
Okay. So please take your dark pink ballot. Would you like to do it that way? We went through this last time. I was trying to go based on the half-hour discussion we had last time. Okay. So do you guys want to make speeches or anything, or just kind of go with where we are? Okay. Okay, Marilyn. Okay, so please take your bright pink, the dark one, we'll call it rose-colored, and please vote for chair. And the nominees are Marilyn and Christina, and please fold it. And Darlene, did you want to pick them up?
I'll pick them up.
Point of order, please.
Okay.
I'm just wondering if it's
you got to turn it on.
Get used to
used to this. Thank you. Is it possible for Christine and I to make a very brief one-minute statement? I know everyone knows Christine. She's been in the office, Christina, but I'm brand new. Just wondering if I could make a one-minute statement along with Christina. Do you want to go first?
No, you go.
Okay.
You go first.
Thank you. Just want to say I'm – okay? I'm happy to be on this board and happy to be working with all of you. What I could bring to the chair is I have great experience facilitating meetings, often contentious meetings. I was chair of Richmond's Planning Commission for several years. I also worked the right hand of former Mayor Gail McLaughlin and was her close advisor when she was chairing very contentious city council meetings. So I'm familiar with the procedures, and I would like to, you know, use whatever skills I can to help us move these meetings forward in a constructive way. Thank you.
Is this on? Yeah. I appreciate being the chair of this board. We have been, I think we've, for the most part, been very civilized to each other and been able to exchange ideas in a way that respects one another, which is really good because not all the boards do that. And I've been very pleased with the way that this board has comported themselves. I've been executive vice president of my local union, held lots of meetings and trainings. I was on the steering committee of Marin People for Peace for 6 years, and we did things by consensus, and that's not an easy thing. We had everything from what we like to say Quakers to communists, but, you know, we had a really good group of people who did community outreach and meetings on everything from what was happening in Iran at the time, apartheid, anti-apartheid, and stuff like that. So I do have a lot of experience in chairing various meetings. Thank you.
I can't even hear them. Too busy.
Okay,
not on.
They
should be able to. Does somebody want to take their text message, or I could do a chat? If I had a chat last time. Let me see here.
Chat.
If you could do chat, that would be ideal, Frank. Thank you.
Can you announce to them that? Okay, I'll do it.
Hey, phone people, Donald and Noni. Oh, Shira. I'm going to start a chat, and you guys could. Okay. Okay, you could either text.
Yes, I already texted Carol my vote.
Okay, and Shira, you could chat.
I can try to. I have to get on my computer. I could try to get on my computer.
I mean, does it matter if it has to be secret, or could she just shout it out? You want to just shout it out, or you could do a secret ballot by texting it?
No, I could shout it out, Christina.
Okay, one for Christina. Thank you. I did send a chat, though, just in case.
No, this is better because I'd have to figure out all sorts of stuff to get on it. That's half the reason I called in. Thank you.
And I am voting for Christina as well, Frank.
Okay. Okay, Don.
Next is vice chair. Susan DeSilva has been nominated. Are there any other nominations for vice chair? Susan DeSilva.
Thank you.
While we're waiting, I would like to... Oh, we have the results.
So here's the result for the chair. Yeah. So Christine is 12 and Marilyn is 9.
Okay.
9 to 12. 12 for Christina, 9 for Marilyn Langlois.
12 for Christina?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Christina is chair. Congratulations, Christina, and thank you, Marilyn, for being willing to run. Okay, next one is Vice Chair Susan DeSilva is nominated. Anybody else?
I'd like to nominate Marilyn for Vice Chair.
Okay, Susan DeSilva and Marilyn. Yeah. Susan and Marilyn, do you want to, Susan first, did you want to take a minute?
Well, I've been involved with this is Susan DeSilva. I've been involved with this board ever since the first elected board where I was chair for two terms. And I think we did a really good job at that time, and I have a lot of experience also running meetings. I ran the project management office for a very large corporation. And that's it. But if it's not me and it's Marilyn, that's fine too.
This is Shira. I just have one request. Is it possible that somebody could state just very briefly what the duties of the vice chair are?
Pretty much. You sit in for if the chair is unable to make a meeting to chair the meeting, then you would be chairing the meeting. That's the essential aspect of it. If the chair has to step out for a while, you would take over chairing the meeting. And that is the, in a nutshell, that's it.
Okay, this is Marilyn. Just don't want to repeat what I said before, but just to say I appreciate the service of all the current officers. And if elected vice chair, I will use my utmost skills to make sure the meetings are run smoothly, respectfully, and constructively in the absence of the chair. Thank you.
Thank you. And which ballot are you passing out now? What color are we going with?
Light pink.
Okay.
Sorry, this is Shira. I have one more question. I apologize.
Go ahead, Shira.
Would any of our candidates say that they have strong timing?
I'm sorry,
Would any of our candidates say that they have strong time management skills?
I would say. Yeah, I think I do. This is Susan DeSilva. I think I was really known for moving meetings along. And also, back in the day, the board met in the evenings on a weeknight. And we actually would have like a quick little potluck. And I've thought about suggesting that we do that again because it does make the meeting shorter if you meet in the evening.
You want to talk about your time management skills, Marilyn? Oh, you got to turn it on.
Okay, time management. In my experience running planning commission meetings, often we have a lot of complicated issues, and I've been really good about distilling down the key points to be addressed. However, when it comes to public comment, I don't cut any corners. I think having public comment, and not only from members of the listening community, but from our own board members, is very important to be able to hear everybody. However, of course, we need to get through the agenda and in a efficient but constructive manner. And I think having familiarity with the rules of procedure really helps move things along. So I know that very well. And I've also chaired Richmond Progressive Alliance meetings for many years. And I would certainly do my utmost to not waste people's time, make sure we get through the agenda quickly and effectively, but with still hearing full discussion as needed. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, on your pink forms, please turn them in to Aki or Marianne for either Susan or Marilyn. Frank, do you want to ask Shira and Don? Don can text me, and Shira could text... or Shira, if she's willing to say.
I don't even think anybody's questioning what my answer is going to be.
Okay.
Since you guys know what's important to me, so I'm going to go with Susan.
Thank you. Okay, Susan. And Don?
I'm texting you.
Okay.
You got that one.
Two by phone.
And you saw this.
Yes.
Okay. We're going to orange. I keep trying to do this.
I'm going to ask you to do this because it's for a second.
While we're waiting, I want to pass around, would you like to volunteer for KPFA outreach forums? And these are forums to help us get information about what you would like to do. All board members are required to be part of outreach and be part of fundraising. That's part of our responsibility. So please sign up, put your name, put your contact information, and things you would like to do for outreach. And Aki's still working. I'll just talk about outreach. Yeah, the craft fair is coming up on... Oh, sorry.
Oh, let me give some to Sharon to go the other way, too.
The craft fair is going to be... The KPFA Craneway Craft Fair is going to be at the Craneway Pavilion at December 21st and 22nd. And... we look forward to volunteers at the outreach table, and I have some materials for the craft fair if people want to share them, and I know Marilyn has offered to help share it in the Richmond area. This is a way KPFA gets the money from the door. So we bring in about $30,000 from the door. We do not get money from the sales of goods, and there will be broadcasting at the craft fair from... 9 to 11. Thank you. Aki, you ready?
So the it's a tie. It's 11 to 11.
Oh, wow.
So.
Robert's rule about that?
Yeah. I have a coin.
let's continue on with the rest and then go back to it. Maybe that'll make a difference.
It goes down, down, down. Yeah, you might want to.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
I'll defer to Marilyn. Marilyn can have it.
Thank you, Susan. Very gracious of you. And we'll move along now for nominations for the secretary. And Carol Wolfley has been nominated. Are there any other nominations for secretary? James?
I would like to nominate Daniel for secretary.
And you accept Daniel?
Yes.
Thank you. Any other? Okay. So the nominees are Carol Wolfley and Daniel Borgstrom. And what color are we going with now? Let's say something. Let's have each candidate say something for 1 minute. Carol?
I would like to say that part of being secretary for me is complex because it involves preparing the agendas, preparing the minutes, coordinating those things with all of the different people on the LSB, maintaining the two lists, and helping organize. So it, and also having connection with people at the station and having a good relationship with a lot of people at the station, so that when things come up, people know who to contact. Also being involved with outreach and also being involved with the National Programming Committee. So those give me a broad connection with a lot of people that help to make this job doable and workable. I think it's important to have good relationships with people at the station. Thanks.
You didn't need to do that. I got it.
Thank you, Carol. Daniel?
Look, Kent, is it on?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm Daniel Borgstrom, and for several years now, I've been writing articles about KPFA and Pacifica. I'm sure quite a few have read some of my articles, and if you like my articles, you might consider me as secretary.
Phone.
Hey, phone voters, Daniel Borgstrom or Carol Wolfley, you can text Carol or shout out.
I have texted Carol. Thank you.
This is Shira.
Go ahead, Shira.
Carol.
Carol, okay, we got you. Thank you.
So both phone people are for Carol. pass this around. Anybody else? Here's one more. One more, Tom.
The 22, the 15 for Cal, and 7 for Daniel. So, Cal, good.
Oh, great. Okay. So, Carol, so we have, Carol is the secretary. Now we're going to vote for treasurer, and Sharon Adams has been nominated. Are there any other nominations for treasurer? Daniel? You have to use the mic, please.
Yes, I nominate James McFadden.
Do you accept, James?
Yes.
Thank you. So are there any other nominations? Okay, so we have Sharon Adams and James McFadden. You want to say something, each of you? Okay, do you want to go first?
So, yes, I've been treasurer this past year, and as part of being treasurer, actually for the past 2 years, I guess, I've been treasurer. And one of the things that I have coordinated that was not done before was coordinating the budget workshops to make sure that in August when the budget comes out, we all get together and have a chance to vote on the budget, or no, to discuss the budget in a situation that is not controlled by Robert's Rules of Order, so that we can come to a better understanding of all the budget issues. And so we do that in August, and then we vote on the budget in September. And I'm also on the NFC, and I've been part of the NFC, and I think I have a pretty good grasp on the finances of Pacifica as a whole, and also how those finances relate to KPFA, which I think is crucial in this time. National Finance Committee.
This is James McFadden. I've been doing budgets for NASA proposals for about 25 years, so I know my way around a spreadsheet, including one that was pretty much single-handedly a 700-page, $120 million proposal. So I understand how to justify costs and how to take an old budget, especially because we would take that proposal and it would be modified each year, and how that process works and how the assumptions work that go into a budget spreadsheet. And the thing I would bring is to try to bring as much transparency as possible to the budget process so we know what assumptions go into the budgets and that everybody on the board would know those assumptions also before they vote on the next budget. And also how much the actual budget that actually passes compares to the previous proposed budgets.
What color are we on now? Yellow?
Yellow.
Okay, everybody, yellow. So the two candidates are James McFadden and Sharon Adams. And if Donald and Shira could text or something to let us know so we get their vote as well.
Which one are we using? This one?
Yeah. Blue. That's correct. Yellow.
This is Shira. I know. It's so awkward that I have to just yell everything out. I'm going to abstain because I can't make a decision.
have texted to Carol my vote.
You guys got that? Donald has texted Carol, and you can read it over there.
Got everybody's. I will use these phone numbers and email addresses to add your names to the KPFA closed email list. So I would, if you have a different email address, please let me know, and please turn these in so your name will be added to the KPFA email list. Thank you. Anybody didn't get one, they're right here.
Carol, will you please use my Frank LSB email, please?
Get 13 for Sharon, 8 for James, and 1 abstention. 13 and 8 for James, and 1 abstention.
So Sharon is our secretary treasurer. Okay. I'm sorry. I used to have a secretary treasurer at my local. I always stumble into that. We have a treasurer. Thank you, Sharon, for the hard work you do and the report you bring. The next on our agenda is to review have a motion to approve our group meeting and email list agreements. So I will read that so everybody, it's in the audio. Audio recording of LSB meetings are available at kpftx.org. No video recording permitted at LSB meetings. Communicate with each other respectfully and speak using comfortable volumes. Focus on facts, issues, and proposals. No name calling or personal insults. Use attribution of sources and documentation when making statements or assumptions about other people or groups. Listen to each other with care. Honor the agenda and timeline, including staying on topic without repetition, following group procedures, and respecting the chair, facilitators, timekeepers, and people taking stack. Raise hands to be recognized by the chair. Honor individual time allocations per share and finish up when agreed upon time is over. Each person's time may be used for comments or questions with answers included in the time. Honor board confidentiality. KPFA local station board members are required to keep all job performance information related to KPFA management, paid and unpaid staff, and volunteers confidential to be shared only within closed session LSB meetings. If a situation arises when an LSB member or a member of the public is not willing to honor the above agreements, after the agreements are brought to their attention, that person may be asked to leave the meeting. And that, do I have a motion for our group meeting to be accepted, our agreements? Do I have a second? Thank you. All those in favor? And it appears unanimous as far as Donald and Shira. Are you voting yes or no or what?
Yep.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Now,
We're on 13. Motion to approve LSB meeting schedule for Saturdays 11 to 3 p.m. with possibilities for additional task forces, outreach, and fundraising in between meeting. Consideration of locations of meetings and draft schedule. And we have the draft schedule as follows. January 11th, PNB election. February 1st, LSB orientation retreat for our new members. March 21st, May 16th, July 11th, LSB meeting and town hall. August budget workshops. September 19th, budget review. And November 21st. And do I have a motion to approve these dates? And a second? James? Mike, please.
Some of the dates I just wanted to ask about changing. And so generally I have a community group that I belong to that meets the morning of the second Saturday of the month, and two of these meetings are scheduled for second Saturday. And then I generally go from that meeting to the NAACP meeting afterwards, which is also second Saturday. And so that's the January 11th and July 11th meetings are those. And if, you know, I can make the come to these, of course, but if those also, if other people have issues with second Saturday, then I would be would it be beneficial to me to have those to move to the third Saturday?
Okay. Well, regarding the 11th, the reason why we chose that was instead of the third Saturday is because Martin Luther King is the Monday after the third Saturday, Martin Luther King holiday, so we thought more people would come on the 11th.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think there's a conflict with July, and we should, yeah.
Yeah, he's just not.
July 17 or 18 doesn't, I forget what it is, though. I'm not sure anymore. I forget.
There's the 18th and the 25th in July left. It's not the 4th or the 11th.
So I move to accept.
Well, wait. July. We could change.
It's supposed to be the third Saturday, but there's.
The reason that the January one was changed was because of Martin Luther King Jr. Day on the following Monday, and it's generally the third Saturday in general. And I guess we could do the 25th. Does that work for people? Yes, Marilyn?
Yeah, I'd respectfully like to request we stay with January 11th for the meeting. I've got it fixed on my calendar. I'll be out of the country on both the 18th and the 25th, and wouldn't even be able to call in. So that's my request. Okay, so yeah. The July, I'm open. I'm open.
Yeah, we were sort of looking at July now. Yeah. Is that July 25th? Would that work for people?
Is July 25th a fourth Saturday?
Yes, it is.
Okay, because I have a KPFA event on the fourth Saturdays, so I wouldn't be able to make that.
Okay. These conflicts come up a lot with always somebody. Yes, go ahead, Christine.
No.
Okay. Okay. So can we just go with what we've got then, since there's always a conflict?
We want to take a vote between the 11th and the 25th. Or the 18th,
I think. Yeah, we're looking at.
Okay, the 11th or the 25th. I see. Okay, yes. All right.
Okay, for the one July. We're talking July now. Okay, so we're looking at, so far we have July 25th or 18th, is that what we're saying?
July
11th or 25th, okay.
Let's just vote on the 11th first.
Okay, all those in favor of just keeping it on the 11th, just raise your hand, please.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 66, 67, 68, 69, 70, 71, 72, 73, 74, 75, 76, 77, 78, 79, 80, 81, 82, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, 89, 90, 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 100, 101, 102, 103, 104, 105, 106, 107, 108, 109, 110, 111, 112, 113, 114, 115, 116, 117, 118, 119, 120, 121, 122, 123, 124, 125, 126, 127, 128, 129,
All those opposed?
I'm sorry, 14.
Okay, there's no, he's going to the other one because that passes. Okay, so.
It passes.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Andrea. You doing okay?
Thank you for considering.
You're welcome. We want to be able to be as amenable as we can for people. We want, you know, a lot of people here today, and that's good. So, okay, so that now on the complete motion, since we had discussion on the.
But I have a conflict on March 21st, so it doesn't. I don't need to attend every single meeting, but I'm just letting you know that I won't be able to be there for that one.
Table. Thank you. Oh, so we'll entertain a motion on the entire motion that I described as is written, as I described it. Do I have a second? Yeah, we'll have discussion. We have a second?
Yes.
Second. Okay. Discussion? Any discussion?
Just have a question about the locations of the meetings. Is it always in Berkeley or Oakland, or can we have it in the South Bay? I see everyone super happy.
Yeah, no.
I live in the South Bay. So.
Yeah, I think that we should be able to be open to that.
Exactly.
And
I think
that you sent that to Carol, and that would be something that we can discuss at the next meeting, having a meeting like in San Jose. So,
absolutely. And we're
absolutely open to that.
It's accessible by public transportation. Yeah, not
nope.
Easily.
Sure.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, you did. Okay.
Thank you. Okay, and we'll consider locations at the next meeting. You can talk to us about that. I know. I was getting ready for that, but Peanut Gallery. Okay, so everybody in favor of the motion, the entire motion, would you please raise your hand? And Shira and Donald?
I'm not clear what we're voting on.
We're voting on the motion for the schedule that we just described.
I vote in favor.
Thank you. 18. All those opposed? Do I have any abstentions? I guess not. So, okay. So the motion passes for the dates. Thank you very much. For the next meeting, go ahead.
I move that we have the next meeting here.
Second.
Meeting, okay, motion, okay. All those in favor for the next meeting to be here?
At this location.
Okay, thank you. The motion passes. And I don't know if you want to go over the members' outreach work. Did you want to say something, Darlene, about that too? Or?
Been asked to say something.
Thank you. Would you hand that to Darlene?
First of all, I want to make sure everybody understands the opportunity that is immediately before you. The KPFA Winter Fund Drive, or Holiday Fund Drive, whatever we're calling it, has been extended because of the time we took for the impeachment hearings. So it's going to go through Tuesday at 7 o'clock. The phone room is open from 6:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m., supporting the financial stability of KPFA and therefore Pacifica is a responsibility of the board. And I don't think anybody but myself has yet shown up for the last 11 days of the phone room. Of course, I'm getting paid for a few of those days, but that's something else. to be transparent. So a small example of helping out financially, because if we don't pick up the phone, the call service picks up the phone, and we're charged by the minute out of the pledge for those. So you are coming into the phone room as a volunteer means all of the pledge is coming to KPFA, and we're not sharing it with a service that we need, and they're reasonable, but still. Okay. So, Carol, 6:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. in the phone room. You could come for an hour. You can come for three. Oh, I beg your pardon. Sunday, as it is today, is 9 to 3. So 9 to 3 on Sunday, 6:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. on Monday and Tuesday. Okay. Sorry. Thanks, Philip, for catching that. But let's talk about fundraising and the financial responsibility of the board. This has been the biggest bug I've had since joining this board 1 year ago, filling out another elected person's term, because my life has been the nonprofit sector, and that's a lot of board work. And people, your expertise in running something is what is a benefit to the board and is what is expected, and your commitment to helping the fundraising is your other commitment, and also fiduciary responsibility for the how money is spent overall, not, you know, down in the weeds each budget item, but overall in terms of the integrity of the finances. All of that said, we have an outreach program that I've really never seen a board member show up for as well. And this is what you're going to get from me for all your time period on the board. Our responsibility as a board, not all the other fun things we like to dig into, but the responsibility of being a board member. Neither the national board or the local board takes that up. They do not take it seriously. We are not having discussion group. We need to be a board. So Carol passed out these little forms just to give you an idea of what is already happening with outreach for KPFA. Every member who becomes a subscriber becomes financially invested in the radio station, and we need that. KPFA, anybody want to make a guess how many subscribers KPFA has? 14,300. We do not have as many subscribers as at least I thought we had because of how much I'm involved with KPFA or listen to KPFA. We don't have many. And this is for Northern California. 14,300 for Northern California. We have to do better. We have to do more. Carol's going to shoot me. Can I have one more minute? There is an idea, though, that board members have a certain other kind of financial contributions they can make, and a lot of that has to do with person-to-person events in which the board helps identify and create major donors. Now, in KPFA, $1,000 a year is a major, major donor. So we're not talking about going after the wealthy. But should we know them? Maybe, encouragement that way as well. But we want to talk about the board using their personal relationship skills to start to develop donors, which right now we have people who are sustainers. We want to go a little bit further than that. We are talking about events, and you will hear about them, in which we will ask you. I won't say expect you. That would be me, but not the board, in, you know, ourselves in general would expect and encourage each other to participate in those things. Think dinner parties.
Okay, let's get creative. I like it. Okay, thank you very much, Darlene. It is really important. It's actually for our new board members. I think it's Section 7 of the bylaws address our responsibilities as board members for local station boards. And there it's a lot to read the whole bylaws. But if you want to look at that section, that will give you some insight into exactly what our duties are. And what Darlene just talked about is one of our duties as local station board members to help do fundraising and to volunteer. So thank you. And Christine.
Yes, I had a question for you, darling. Can you talk a little bit more about the outreach program?
Well,
can you give us more details?
That's Carol's bailiwick. But I'll give an example that in 2 weeks, there's a crafts fair. And KPFA has tables at those crafts fair. KPFA does broadcasts from that crafts fair. 2 weeks from now, you are needed for the crafts fair. It's 1 week?
Next weekend.
Where is it?
At the Craneway. And there are postcards running around this building as well. So you can to get that. And it's on the KPFA website, kpfa.org. It's in Richmond, yes. And if you to answer your question, let me give you to Carol, who I just said is the champ.
Yeah, one of the things we're doing there's aspects of outreach that are on the form. So there's the phone room, and there's also bringing food to the phone room that helps the volunteers who are there, soliciting it from restaurants. There is recruiting interns for the station, which means if you know interns from media parts of the different universities or colleges. We just had a tour with Cal State East Bay students from the media department connected with Project Centered and other shows. And we have recruiting for the other of the news department, so we're always looking for internships for the news department and stringers to submit news articles to news at kpfa.org. There are also opportunities to help with fundraising events, like Darlene was saying, and I think one really exciting one would be to support have an event in support of programming for climate emergency. And also related to peace, because those two go together. And another big possibility for people in doing outreach is community events. So if you're going to a community event and you want to take some program guides and some bookmarks to let people know we are at some community events, we're trying to build our outreach. So that means having tables, like at the book fair or the Petaluma Progressive Festival or other places. So we need people to man those tables. And I want to ask Janine to talk about the KPFA movies, if you would, Janine, because I know you're often looking for people there. And I want to introduce Janine as producer for the news department and working with Upfront and organizer of the women's programming and many other things. Thanks.
Well, I'm the coordinator for the movie matinees that we have at the New Parkway monthly. And I don't know what to say about them, really. Just I could always use help with outreach, and I hope that my quota or whatever you call it is met by doing that event monthly. Okay, great. Check. So fourth Saturdays we have an event at the New Parkway Theater and showing respectively politically oriented movies. V for Vendetta is December 28th, and I always could use help with promotions of that event.
And those are great events, too, because different producers come and there's discussions after the movies. I've really enjoyed being able to get to know some of the producers a little bit and hear their ideas about the films. So it's a great opportunity.
Yeah, we had Mitch Jezerich come for the after movie discussion last month. We showed The Manchurian Candidate.
Wow, that's great. Thank you. We appreciate all you're doing, Janine. And I'm glad to see you here, too. Thank you. I know. I can still be glad to see her. And I am. Yes, Susan?
Yeah, so Carol's really great about handing things out at events, but I just wanted to make it clear, if you're going to any kind of an event and you think there'll be, you can stand out front and hand things out, you know, you don't need to, like, coordinate with anyone. You just have to pick up some materials from Carol.
Great. Thank you for that, Susan. Okay, I think, yes.
Just real quick.
Frank.
Just real quick. I will be at KPFA on Tuesday to answer phones from 2 to 4 o'clock if anybody wants to come from 2 to 4 o'clock or maybe a little longer. So just let me know after the meeting or just show up. Answer the phones. It's going to be the last day, so it'll probably be kind of busy, so it might be full, maybe not, but I'll go in at 2, and I'll answer phones till 4 o'clock if anybody else wants to come around, or till the end. It gets really busy at the end because a lot of people start calling.
Thanks, and Frank, would you be willing to just talk about recruiting people for the apprenticeship program?
Hello. Yes, the apprenticeship program, it's been going on at KPFA, I think, 30 years now. And it's an affirmative action program that trains women and people of color in all aspects of radio broadcasting. So we teach the foundational skills in hosting, producing, editing, mixing, and engineering. And then after a year of training, they are live on the air for 6 months. So it's an 18-month program. We are now taking applications at kpfaapprentice.org. There is an apply tab there. They could fill out the application, and we're looking to bring a new group of apprentices in the spring. So if you know anyone that's interested in being part of KPFA, getting on the air even, and learning how to make radio, we're going to be doing that with a new group coming in the spring, which would probably be like March or April. So it's a good time to get your application in early at kpfaapprentice.org. Or you could also come by KPFA and ask for an application there or call the station and ask us to mail you one. Our extension is 235. And if you need any more information, you could ask me after the meeting. Thank you.
You're on. Thank you, Frank. I appreciate that. The apprenticeship program is a really important program. We've got a lot of people working out of it that ended up on the air. So thank you very much, Frank. We need to take a break fairly soon, so I'll leave it up to the body. We can do the treasurer's report and then break, or we can break right now and come back and just finish up. Probably 20-minute break. So would people who want to take a break now, raise your hand. Let me know. Anybody wants to take a break now? Later? After the treasurer's report? Okay, so we'll go forward with the treasurer's report then, and then we'll take a 20-minute break. Is that 20 minutes fine with everybody? Otherwise, we'll never get out of here. We got the room till 3. Okay, too long? Yeah, I'll say 15, and then people will come back in 20. Okay, 15-minute break. Okay, 15-minute break after the treasurer's report. Got it. Thank you. Everybody's okay with that? Okay, we're on.
No. So this is Sharon. I'm the treasurer. Yes, thank you, everybody. I do appreciate your support. I really do. There's a couple things I want to say and something that's burning inside of me that isn't in my notes. Okay, I want to talk about listenership because the numbers were mentioned. And I just have to mention the Jimmy Dore Show. You know, we have the producer right here. I've been mentioning Jimmy Dore's show for numerous years, actually, on my campaign trail and at all times because he started at KPFK, the Los Angeles station. And I do believe it was sort of a missed opportunity for Pacifica, because in the last 2 years, Jimmy Dore's show has gotten about 200,000 more subscribers than when I started watching. Of course, subscribers are not paying members. Nevertheless, there is an audience, a growing audience for progressive voices. And what Pacifica and KPFA need to do is expand the Overton window and having a wider dialogue among people on the left to get more people engaged in the listenership and therefore increase our numbers. Okay, that's just part of my treasurer's report that I had to say. Okay, so I want to actually begin with the value. Yes, thank you for all that you do and for all that Jimmy Dore show does. I want to begin with the value of Pacifica. I really want to think, I think that's an incredibly important topic and way to start the treasurer's report, because why are we all here? It's the value of Pacifica. And I want to give a perfect example in my mind of why Pacifica is extremely valuable. We've all heard of the whistleblower that gave the information on Trump's phone call with the Ukrainian president. That name of the whistleblower was published, publicly available, published on Politico. After it was published on Politico, it was mentioned in videos on YouTube. And yet YouTube struck, deleted every single video that mentioned this whistleblower's name. Yes, this is part of the value. I just want to finish this part. So I just want to say that this is part of the reason why Pacifica is so important. That is my belief. Pacifica could mention the name of the whistleblower. No, mainstream media is not mentioning the name of the whistleblower. It's being expunged from YouTube. That is the value of Pacifica that we're all here for. And I just wanted to say that before I go into the devastating financial news about Pacifica. Because every radio station on Pacifica could say that name. I'm not saying they should. I'm just saying we have that asset. Okay. This valuable resource is saddled with a $3.25 million loan that is secured by all of the real property and all of the intellectual property of Pacifica. That includes the KPFA studio building, the KPFA transmitter tower, and the Pacifica archives and all of the other real estate within Pacifica. I'm saying this partly for the benefit of the new people, because I know the existing people know some of this stuff. So you have to understand that there's a $3.25 million loan that's sitting out there. This loan has interest payments that are coming due of approximately $70,000 each quarter. The first loan payment that we as stations have to come up with the money for, the $70,000, is on December 30th. That funds are available. I believe Chris may be able to expand on that a little bit, but that December 30th interest loan payment can be made, but the next one will be coming up in 3 months from then, and the Pacifica as a whole needs to come up with the $70,000, and as we all know, Pacifica is having difficulties. So I wanted to talk about KPFA's share of the loan payment that's quarterly. Okay, so we on the NFC, the National Finance Committee, we've passed this motion to divide the loan payment percentages by membership. Okay, so that's what we decided was on the NFC. And so KPFA, I'll just go for that right now, has the 31% of the total membership of Pacifica, and therefore the KPFA payment towards that $70,000 works out to being $21,000 quarterly that we have to come up with in addition to our regular budget. So this is a new expense that will be coming in 2020. So now, in 15 and a half months from now, 15 and a half months, the full payment of $3.25 million plus the accrued interest will be due. Okay? 15 and a half months from now. People aren't even being able to pay, make these, well, I don't want to say anything about that. Okay, so I now want to go on to information that has been provided to us by NEDA, which is the National Education Telecommunications Association. Now, NEDA is the organization that Pacifica hired to do our accounting and our HR. And NEDA has stated, and I'm going to hand this out, basically they've just continued to state pretty much the situation is dire. And KPFA has been paying its bills in full and its central services payments. Now, what central service payments are, again, is based on listenership and it's a percentage, and each station pays a calculated number of central services payments that goes into the national office, and from there, from the national office, the payments are distributed to pay for the accountants, to pay for the auditors, to pay for the national office salaries. So all of the expenses of the national are paid from each station's central services payments, yes, monthly being made. And what KPFA pays, just in case you're interested, is $17,300 twice a month. So we are paying into our central services obligation is $17,300 twice a month, and we have been making that payment consistently. Now, other stations have not been making their central services payments, basically, rarely. And also, I'm going to say the name, WNETA, that's this accountant, has stated that WBAI, the New York station, is, quote, uniquely unable to fund payroll, health benefits, or to pay its central services. So what's happening is WBAI is not paying their central services, so they're not paying into that central fund to pay the accountants and all of that. And in addition, what's happening is that money that we are paying into central services and the other stations are paying into central services, instead of being able to pay for the accountants, that money is being used to fund salaries at WBAI. That is what is happening right now. The general manager of WBAI said at our last NFC call that WBAI is losing $25,000 to $30,000 each month. So in addition to not making payments, they're losing money every month. And KPFA money going into central services is being used to pay that and the other station's money. So I just want to say also, just going back to that loan payment that I said before, where we are going to have to start, we at KPFA are going to have to start coming up with the additional $23,000 each quarter, or maybe it's month, I'm not even sure about that. I think it's quarter, to pay for the loan. It's unlikely, extremely unlikely, that WBAI will be able to pay its share, which is $10,000. And so that means that in addition to the $23,000 that we at KPFA will have to come up with as our share, we'll probably have to cover some of the share that WBAI has because they're not going to be able to make it. So these are the financial realities of Pacifica and KPFA. Yes, it's very crucial. And when that loan comes due in 15 and a half months, it may be foreclosed on. I mean, if we aren't even making interest payments, it could be that the KPFA studio building is lost. That is what we are talking about. Okay, so just to talk now more local fund drive numbers, because none of the stations are doing particularly well, and that's why I said at the beginning about listenership, because I do believe there is an audience out there. I really do. And I just think that if people could expand their thoughts of what people might want to hear, we could increase our audience. So to give you the fund drive numbers, as Darlene said, because of the congressional hearings, there was a delay or some setback in the fund drive. The fund drive has been extended until Tuesday. As of Friday afternoon, so this is yesterday afternoon, the total goal was $350,000, and as of Friday afternoon, the amount received, pledged, was $230,000, so 65% of the goal. So I really do hope that we do have a large, large turnout and that Frank is extremely busy on Tuesday afternoon answering the phone calls. That's the treasurer's report. I have the documents that I'll hand out now, the NETA reports.
Thank you. Do I have any questions? Yes.
So not including WBAI, are the other three stations current with their bills, including central services?
Generally.
So we're talking W in Washington, T in Houston, and KPFK.
Yes.
And KPFK in Los Angeles is the other big station. Are they close to 31% share of the listenership?
Their share is 27, basically 28%.
Okay. But the others are up to speed on that, on their payments.
Chris might know better than I.
Are you referring to central services payments?
Yes.
Okay. So Kay has been incredibly consistent about it. They've been really, really good. And T has been mostly, they're near 100% also. Next down the rung from there would be W, and then below that would be BAI, pretty much in that order. I'm sorry, WPFW in Washington. The majority of their payments have been made. Yeah, they're over half. I think it's right around three quarters. They've missed a couple. In other words, it's not super serious.
Frank was next. Frank.
One second. Yes. Yes. Hello, everyone. I just had a couple questions, like, what are we as, like, individual stations doing, or are we doing anything as individual stations to set aside any sort of funds or as a network besides just collecting our regular central services? And is there any sort of special account set up to help pay back the loan, any sort of special one-day fundraisers brought up for, you know, explaining to the listeners, you know, our situation and raising funds? So I guess my question is, what are we doing as individual stations, and what are we doing as a network? And then also, what can we do? Maybe as a body here, we could discuss, like, something that, you know, we can do to start putting money into either a special account or just a space to start making these payments, especially since this first one is here. And then I guess my other questions, if you want to write them down or just if you could remember, I'm curious how much we are paying Netta, just for my own curiosity, like how I understand it was like $30,000 a month or something, or I'm just not sure. So if someone could clarify, like, how much we're paying them and how much we have paid total. And then, sorry, here, I'm just checking my little notes. Have any other stations had to draw from the network in the past? Is WBAI the only one that's ever, like, drained a little bit of the resources? Has any of the other stations in the past had to, you know, get funds from the network to pay health care or to pay payroll? Or is WBAI the only one that's ever done that? So those are my questions. Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to let Chris answer some of these also. He is the NF National Finance Committee chair, but just to take a first shot at it. I just want to also say that percentages that I was saying before and the membership split was something we passed on the NFC that we sent up to the Pacifica National Board, the PNB. They, of course, have not voted on it. So it's not actually official. I just said that as if it was official. As far as paying Netta, they are getting $30,000 a month, although they are owed something like $120,000 because they're not getting paid. Instead, we're paying Pacifica, I mean, is paying WBAI. As far as drawing from the network in the past, I'm sure there's ancient history about that, but that's irrelevant to the current financial crisis, which is that WBAI is withdrawing all of, basically, tons of money. Chris?
I'll address the last question first. So there have been some other stations, especially recently, that have borrowed funds from the central office. I believe that KPFK was actually short on one payroll and borrowed funds and from the national office, and in the same manner that WBAI has done, returned them when the funds were available. As far as the interest payment is concerned and the allocation for it, I don't believe there's been any coordinated effort. And I think the reason is that the individual stations are looking for guidance from either the NFC, which has actually been offered, or from the PMB, which has yet to pass those suggestions. As far as a specific account that's been allocated for these expenses, yes, it exists. In fact, it's existed since the loan was first taken out. There's a separate escrow account that was set up for the interest payments that paid the interest up until this point, up until now, in fact. And so what is due at this point, from this point forward, is money to replenish that account effectively. And there is some remaining balance in that account. But if we don't get ahead of that, the account will run out before the loan comes due, which would be a failure to meet interest payments, which is actually maybe the most serious problem that we could have in re-upping the loan if in fact the entity that loaned the money to us in the first place is interested in doing that. So I wanna say that it's gonna take a serious effort to do this. Having said that, network-wide, we have, I believe, somewhere in the neighborhood of 45 to 50,000 members. The interest payment allocation, in order to meet the remaining obligations on the loan through the date that it's due, are something like $10 per member. So if we could do a national fund drive and just ask every member to send in 10 bucks to cover our interest payments, it would be done through the end of the loan, and then we could get on to doing a refi. It would also show that we are actually capable of raising funds for this specific purpose. So I you know, this hasn't been offered to the NFC yet, but I think one of the things that freaks us out as an organization is we get this tunnel vision. We say, oh my God, it's $70,000. Well, $70,000 divided by 45,000 members is $1.50. I mean, the numbers are daunting until you look at the power of our actual membership, and then it's not so daunting anymore. And I really think people need to get past that and realize that, hey, it's 10 bucks, you know? I mean, skip your trip to Starbucks or whatever you're doing with that 10 bucks, send it in, and we're done through the 15 and a half months that was mentioned earlier. And I think that's where we need to go with this.
Just a little follow-up on – so you mentioned that there are suggestions or something that the NFC hasn't really brought up yet. But we're
at time. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't ahead of time. I was just asking a question.
Yeah. So
can you share at iExporter some of the suggestions you guys are hoping to bring up? Yeah.
This hasn't been brought to the board yet. So this is something that has been tooling around in my head. It's something that's been discussed at the NFC, but there has not been a specific proposal at this point. So – and there's none on the table right now, but I'd be more than happy to bring one up at the PMB. Yeah.
Donald for the stack.
This kind of ties into both the last two issues on the agenda. I go to lots of meetings, and I would love to have flyers. And from my own experience, you know, over the last decades, you know, when I would donate, the things that would cause me is I would be listening to the radio and they would, and KPFA would have somebody being interviewed about their book. And that was almost entirely for the longest time would inspire me. I'd get to work and I'd get online and make my donation because I wanted a copy of that book, and I knew it was a lot more than just going to the thing. But that was a thing, hearing those interviews online and other kinds of – I mean, there's specific kinds of programs. So I assume there's sort of a deep knowledge somehow of, like, what kinds of things really have inspired donations, you know, and to create a flyer around this, you know, that doing exactly what Chris just said, you know, about we need to keep this going and these are the things that you get back. And it could be, you know, and it could be a flyer with some links to those key things or particularly designed around that would be really helpful. Now, maybe that already exists and I just don't know about it, but it would be, you know, those kind of flyers, you know, are really nice to have for events to hand out to so people really understand what they will lose if we don't continue to fundraise.
I didn't hear.
Couple of questions. First, I think Netta reported at one point. Frank mentioned KPFA, WBAI needing to borrow. I think you said a little bit of money every now and then to make their payroll. And I think Netta reported something like $8 million over the last number of years. Is that correct for their deficit over the last number of years that Netta reported? That's one question. Another question is, there is no provision in the budget, the KPFA budget, as far as I understand, to make these loan payments. So do we have to redo our budget based on the fact that we have these loan payments that we know are coming due, but we haven't actually allocated any money for them. Lastly, just another comment. I think that the WBAI's manager's report that he's losing $25,000 a month or $300,000 a year is far understated, that it's probably closer to at least double that, probably more, and that we should keep that in mind as we think about what WBAI is doing with the network.
Can't hear you.
Sorry, Don. We're just having a little discussion here about papers being passed around.
There might not be entirely enough for everybody. I made I have one copy, and I made 18 copies, so you might have to share. But there's one that's one-sided and one that's two-sided.
We need to have two-sided.
Okay. Two-sided. Yeah. They're two different NEDA reports from two different dates. I want to answer Tim's questions, and then I'm going to let Chris answer Tim's questions. And then, okay, as far as the $8 million, Chris knows better than I do, but I do believe that includes, for accounting reasons, the $3.25 million loan was put on their books. So it's an accounting footnote, you might call it. It's just carried on their books. So you could... Exactly. 4.75 million. Yeah. So, yeah, just to clarify that. In terms of redoing the budget, that's a good point, Frank, or no, Tim, you said about that. But I actually like Chris's idea of just doing a special fund drive with 10. Yeah, a national fund drive. So it would be better to get direction from the PNB on this, but maybe we will consider this in January, looking at our budget again. I do agree that's something we should consider. And then as far as the $25,000 to $30,000 a month that the GM of WBAI did agree online was what WBAI is losing each month, I don't believe that included their central services payments, so that was probably excluded from that. And just to give you a few more information, he has previously also said that their burn rate, their monthly bill, that was the words he used, quote, monthly bill, is $165,000 per month. And he also has stated that they raise about $8,000 a day. So if you do the math, WBAI would have to have 15 to 16 fund drive days each month to make their monthly bill.
Actually, she covered it really well. I think that's largely accurate. There is maybe one other thing that I could add, and that's that part of the settlement costs, in addition to the loan, were also charged off on the books. But they also received a credit at 1.2 when the funds came through. So it's very confusing, that part of the accounting. And I would encourage, I know that since this is live, there are a number of people that are listening to it. I would encourage people to be patient with this, because how stuff is accounted for when you have extraordinary expenses like this, it's very difficult to figure out how to allocate it. And accounting teams, internal or external, are going to make decisions about that they consider to be the most rational insofar as how they are viewed. My own personal preference is that stuff like this is footnoted and called out in a way that makes it visible so that people who are reading these things can understand that an extraordinary event happened in this particular year that affected this particular division of the company in this particular way, so that they know that it's not a continuing problem. So if somebody gets hit with, say, a $500,000 settlement for an employee dispute, that they know that happened in that calendar year, and it's not going to happen in every single calendar year that succeeds that, so that they don't make it part of a continuing expense problem. It doesn't mean that you have to have 340 days of fund drive for the rest of, you know, for the rest of your radio career in order to meet that obligation. You just have to figure out system-wide how to meet that obligation for that 1 year, and then you carry on with whatever your continuing expenses are that underlie that. So that's it.
Donald was next, actually. Donald was next.
Who's on staff?
Donald, and then
yes, I want
Tom after Donald. And oh, did you want to be on staff? Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay, so let's. Don will go first, and then Susan. Okay.
And then who else?
Yeah, just very quickly, the question posed earlier by Frank.
Donald, one second. They're clearing up the order here. One second, Donald.
Okay.
Okay.
I got you. Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead, Donald. Sorry.
Yes, the question that Frank asked earlier, did other stations ever have to dip in to monies held by the network to get through a payroll, begs the question. And the question is this, which is, why does WBAI's manager repeatedly have to do that, having done it at least 8 times in the last fiscal year, and again, doing it at the beginning of this fiscal year? That's the key question. And nobody at BAI wants to give us real good answers on that, other than what the general manager just told the National Finance Committee, that, oh, yeah, we seem to be running a deficit every month. Well, guess what? You can't do that indefinitely and expect this network to keep bailing you out. And so then the next question is, how come that general manager's performance has never been evaluated by the local station board there, whose responsibility it is to do it annually, according to our bylaws? Thank you.
Thank you. And let me see. That was Susan was next, and then Carol and then Marilyn. Oh, Tom. Okay, go ahead, Tom.
I do appreciate the financial reports on the several levels that we've been talking about in several of the stations, but I recognize that it is traditional for this meeting to really have a financial spreadsheet that shows where the numbers really are. We don't have one this meeting for some reason. The other thing that I'm aware of, that there is evidently some discrepancies within the NFC financially, to the point where we have no financial spreadsheet from the NFC. My question is when are we likely to such thing to see the spreadsheets that hopefully can verify all of the financial statements about BAI and the rest of the stations? When are we going to see something like that?
Okay,
that's my question.
I'd be happy to answer that. So we received an interim, or it's not interim, it's an unreconciled report from the ICFO. And I wanted the individual stations to have the opportunity to review and comment on aspects of that report before it was submitted to the general public. And I really want to speak to this, because this has come up for the last 6 months, and I find it profoundly irritating isn't the right word. I think distressing would be the right word, that these preliminary figures are tossed out there in the general public before anybody's had the opportunity to review them, anybody with knowledge of how to review them. I you know, James is good at reviewing numbers, but there are many, many people in this organization who don't know the difference between a cash flow analysis and a profit and loss statement. And when I ask them, you know, hey, what are you comparing here? And they say that they're comparing these two reports to one another, I say, okay, that's great. Where's your reconciliation statement that gets you from one report to the other? They don't have that, because I don't have that, because it doesn't exist. So I'm very, very disturbed by these pieces of financial information being weaponized. And I would say that, you know, they're weaponized against BAI. Okay, that has happened. When you're trying to make a case for something and you get a piece of information and it's preliminary and it speaks to your favor, you use it against whatever entity that you're going after, and that's going on in this organization. And I think it's very unfair, and I think it's very unwise, and I think it's deleterious to the actual goals of Pacifica. And so I would appreciate it if those, especially those outside of the organization, the members that seem to enjoy sending dozens and dozens of emails a day on subjects like this, would just calm down and let us do our work. Because what is going on right now is that these things, these pieces of information that have not been reviewed, if I have the opportunity to ask NEDA, why are you showing a $900,000 loss for WBAI last year? That seems unusual that you would be doing that. And I see these categories that don't look quite right, and they can answer those questions, then I can answer those questions before the information is distributed, rather than them being put out there and saying, these numbers don't make any sense. These numbers are $700,000 off from Berthold's numbers. These numbers are blah, 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 blah. I don't want to hear that. I don't want anybody else in the organization to be debating that, because it's stupid. You know, we need to get good, solid numbers, and when we have those good, solid numbers, we'll distribute them. I made a summary report that I sent out to the NFC. The summary report is my personal report. I asked them not to distribute it specifically because it is my personal report. It's my effort to crunch the numbers into a format where we can get down to the granular level on what the actual financial figures of the organization are. I can tell you this generally, though. In the year that has just ended, there are two stations that are underperforming significantly. I mean, across the network, it's not good, okay? Across the network, what NEDA is showing is about $500,000 loss for Pacifica as a whole, which is a significant downturn from last year, where it was basically break-even. It was close to break-even. And so, you know, figuring out where that $500,000 went, which divisions are most responsible for it, and what to do about it is important and should be, and it's work that needs to be done by the NFC and by the PMB. But I want to also say that there's some things that from my preliminary report that I put out to the NFC that in the last three, because it was 3 months preliminary from the end of the year, there are things that have gone downhill significantly at WPFW, for example, that it worries me. It worries me. And I didn't see that coming. So what I'm saying is that if we can just have a couple weeks, hopefully, as long as everybody doesn't go out on vacation and stop answering questions, to deal with some of these questions that have come up from the individual stations who have questioned these results, we can get out something that is more reflective of what's actually going on than we have right now. And I don't appreciate being pressured to issue information early that will create arguments that don't need to exist, because I think that's a habit in this organization, and I think it's a very bad one.
Okay, that answers part of my question, right? The other half of it was, is when are we going to see a spreadsheet from KPFA? And I want to add to that I'm aware from... that the affiliates manager has also contributed a bunch of money, and I did not hear anything about the affiliates program making contributions to this.
Okay.
So there's two questions. Okay. There's that one.
Okay, Tom, I'm going to take part. Chris is going to take part. But before I give the mic to Chris, I just want to say also, I want to say that I truly appreciate having Chris as the NFC chair, because he has really taken a lot of his personal time to dig into these massive amounts of numbers and really try to get to the bottom of them. And I really do believe that Chris is trying to bring a fair analysis to what's happening. I mean, sometimes it seems maybe we don't, you know, maybe to the outside public people wonder, but like, for example, at the last NFC call, Chris took a deep dive into consultant expenses at each station, because it was an expense that was increasing at three of the stations, not KPFA. But at WBAI, oops, that was from something else. At WBAI, it was increasing, and WPFW, I believe, and I can't remember the T. So anyway, we just analyze it. It's numbers, okay? It's just what it is, and sometimes you have to, like, get to the bottom of them, and we don't have all the
information, and Chris is really trying to, in my opinion, really just trying to do a great job. To answer the question about the reports, Maria was here last month and presented an excellent and in-detailed report, and she will, I believe, be here in January because the idea is she's going, her and Quincy are coming quarterly, I think, to give reports. And she will give us a spreadsheet at that time, and she gave us one last month. So, you know, we're we have that information. I don't, and Chris wanted to answer the rest.
The affiliates question. I've actually Robin Collier and I have actually, we talk a lot because Robin's very interested in the numbers and he's very talkative and he's willing to entertain my views even when they disagree with his. And so I'm very interested in the affiliates. And one of the issues that he brought up is that the affiliate section of Pacifica is not accounted for separately. And I understand that that's a concern. I think it's a fair concern, honestly. Right now, it's buried in the P&O financial numbers. You can find it in there, but it takes a bit of digging. And I think what would be preferable is either if it were broken out as a separate division. I think that might be a stretch accounting-wise just because they would have to back account all that stuff and it becomes difficult. But breaking it out within the P&O would be relatively easy, I think, making it a subcategory, in other words, so that you could actually see the expenses and the receipts for that particular division within the Pacifica National Office. And I think that's a more doable thing. I have not brought that up yet, but I think it's a good idea. I like the idea. So anyway, just putting that out there.
Susan, and then Marilyn, and then, okay, Johan Stack.
I'd like to thank anyone who serves on the NFC. You guys rock. And thank you, Chris, for all the information. And I'd like to talk about transparency because I understand, Chris, that you can't be like badgered about the numbers all the time, and when things are understood, I hope that they'll be made public. Your idea about having a fundraiser that's nationwide, where all the members are asked to contribute something towards the interest payments, I think is excellent. But that is going to require a degree of transparency to the membership that has not traditionally been around. The idea has always been that the members don't want to know, and right, and I think that they do, and that they would step up, and I think that there would have to be a consistent message across all the stations. So it would have to come from the Pacifica office, because otherwise it'll be messages to the memberships of each station would be different and would be blaming the other stations. It needs to be a consistent thing and coordinated. And I think that should be pursued, because I haven't really heard that many ideas for paying our interest up till now that actually made any sense to me. So, yeah. And the situation is dire, so I'm. You can just answer me, I think.
Yeah. So the. I agree with that. I agree with all that. I mean, I think it would take a national effort, and I understand that it would be breaking a taboo to put this out to the membership. And I don't quite know how to market that either. I'm not a marketing person, you know. I'm a numbers guy, and so how to present this to the public in a way that wouldn't either scare the crap out of them or make them just say no, you know. I don't want to pay your interest on your loan, you know. That reaction would be bad as well. So putting this out in a way that would make it publicly palatable and something that people actually wanted to do. If there was some specific gift or offering. I don't know. I don't know what to do with all that. You know, how to actually market this idea is a completely separate thing. But the idea of I just wanted to mention one thing about the interest payments and how we came to this conclusion, and it was twofold. One, the ability of each station to pay its expenses in general is based on membership. I mean, if you look at the numbers, it's the one consistent thing from station to station. The stations that have the most members get the most revenue. And the spread is actually, it's significant, but it's nothing like the spread in expenses or revenues at any other, if you look at any other category. The contribution per membership is between $160 and $240 per member, no matter what station you're at, period. So if you have $2 million in expenses per year, you know that you're going to need $2 million in revenue per year. If you have 100 fund drive days per year, then you can divide, you know, the number, you can take the number of members, you can multiply by the number of fund days, and you can multiply by $200 per member, and you can figure out exactly how many fund drive days you need to have to meet your expenses. It's not difficult math. And, you know, but the fact is that until the revenue per member was analyzed, it would be very difficult to figure out how to do that math. And that's why I've been pushing the NFC really hard to come up with parameters for describing how the costs and revenues for per station vary, and why I think it's important to do that. Metrics is an important thing that it just has not happened. It would help with budgeting. It would help with revenue generation. It would help with goals. And it would help you figure out what to do when things were going badly. So I really hope that we'll adopt systems like this that are sensible, logical, and quick, shorthand methods that help you figure out what you need to do if something arises that makes things bad for your station. So, yeah, I hope stuff like that gets adopted in the future. Thank you.
Okay. Right. Carol, then Marilyn, then Christine, and then Karina.
One of the things that I've been concerned about that you're just talking about, Chris, is, you have stations where you have more membership and they're creating more revenue, and then you have other stations that have low membership, lower revenue, poor accounting, but you have equal representation for each station on the national board. And so what happens is that some of the financial decisions that are being made on the national board are coming from stations that are financially failing. And some people present that as if these financially failing stations are more politically correct, but I really want to say that KPFA is the only station that has a fully functioning news department. And although you may not like all the news on it, I think that there are people working very hard from 4 o'clock in the morning on to produce the news. And so we need national programming that is quality programming that is addressing the political issues. And instead, what you find from some of these failing stations is a very strong and powerful push, and I'd like to hear more about how you see this, Chris, and Sharon, a very strong push for very questionable kinds of premiums being used for health and beauty products, which may be, I'll just say, very questionable, and to have that be the main way of fundraising, push for putting football on stations and underwriting practices. And these are coming from less functioning stations, and how, part of it, I'm concerned about, we're going to do a national fundraiser and it's all going to fall on KPFA. Again, to bail out people. So I think we need to, I guess my question is, what do you think about
the kind of fundraising that is being done and the quality of it.
Okay, thank you. Let's just move on.
Mm-hmm. Could you respond?
I don't have a good feel for the marketing side of the business.
Okay, thank you. So we'll move on. Marilyn?
Thank you, Sharon and Chris. I really appreciate your reports. And I think the idea of a national fund drive is, in principle, it's a good one. If it's well-crafted, I think it's something we could all get behind. And I especially appreciate, Chris, your stating that we should wait on the financial reports till they're fully finished and reconciled and ready for publication so we have the exact numbers. I, too, would like to see the spreadsheets, and whenever they're ready, I'll look for them. But in the meantime, I agree with you. We shouldn't throw around a lot of accusations based on numbers that haven't been finalized yet. So thank you for that. I have a couple of just informational questions. One of them is, one of our key assets is our transmitting towers, obviously. So I understand there's a difference among the stations. Some have to pay rent, some don't. So does the tower rent, is that come out of Pacifica National Office expense, or is that charged for those who do have to pay rent? Does that have to come out of their own station budgets? Each station has to? Okay.
Chris said each individual.
Yeah, because as I understand, going back to the whole Empire State Building dilemma that ended up being so expensive, that was a Pacifica National Board decision to locate the tower there, but not the WBAI station that decided that. Is that correct?
Oh, okay. Let's see. Okay. You had two questions, so let me do the transmitter, then the PMB.
And also, which stations have to pay for transmitter rent, which doesn't, because that makes a big difference, too.
Okay. It's kind of a complex question, but let me just say it this way. I don't know all the details of the answer of your question, but KPFA has paid, for example, KPFA members have paid through donor contributions for the KPFA studio building and the national office that was sold, okay, as part of this whole loan deal. The KPFA building, national office building paid for by KPFA members was sold as part of this loan payoff. That's where some of the escrow funds came from. So I do believe that the KPFA transmitter is also in that situation. It's been paid for by KPFA members. Therefore, there is no rent due. Okay, other stations do have rent due. Now, I just really want to address your transmitter question because that's WBAI. Okay, this is the thing from my experience about Pacifica is there's a very short memory of history. So, yeah, extremely. And what happened was, I'll just say names. Dan Coughlin from the MNN in New York. Okay, this is in New York City. Okay, he was not at MNN at that time. Dan Coughlin was the executive director of Pacifica. Apparently, he negotiated this lease, but then he left Pacifica and went, I believe, to MNN at that time. And about 2 weeks later, that lease was signed by the current executive director back then in 2005. It was signed. The lease was signed by the executive director. However, there is no evidence that the Pacifica National Board ever voted for that. I really want to make that point because we hear over and over that Pacifica approved it. No. The executive director approved it. And, we hear a lot about how executive directors shouldn't take actions on their own. Well, that was an action taken on his own. I don't know why that person is no longer in the among the living. So we don't know why that decision. Oh, he isn't?
No,
oh, okay.
He is. Ambrose Lane is
yes, that's what I thought. He has passed away. No, Dan Coughlin is still alive. Okay, so the person that signed the lease. But my point, okay, I just say I am an attorney, and so my point is that those lease terms were known when the lease was signed, and it would have been possible back then to negate that lease because it was never voted on by the PMB. It was never ratified. But within Pacifica, because of the governance structure that you are going to get to know, that did not happen, and instead the contract was ratified by action. People paid the lease, they paid the ever-increasing amounts of the lease, and then when it was too late, they stopped paying the rent. Empire State Realty Trust, not surprisingly, sued. And they won. And that's what led to the judgment. Chris?
Thank you. Christine?
I actually have a couple more questions. Can I ask a couple more questions, or do I have to?
Go ahead.
So the question I have is about the NIDA. Just in terms of, I guess I was kind of surprised that the Pacifica was having trouble producing the annual reports and doing the audits, having all their financial statements in order every year, and then doing the audits. Hasn't happened, and so NIDA was hired to help with that. But that's up and above and beyond the existing staff, financial services staff in the central office, Pacifica National office. So I've seen, has the Pacifica National office reduced its staff once NIDA was hired?
So
can you clarify that for me?
Yeah, there is no accounting staff at Pacifica right now other than NETA.
Okay.
The Pacifica National office does not exist anymore. Okay. The physical office was sold.
No, I mean the staff, and, though.
Right. That is NIDA. That's all it consists of. Okay. And the interim executive director, which is remote.
So we don't have...
Which is
we
up in the air
currently
at this
have
point.
Payroll expenses for P&O other than...
I'm sorry?
We don't have payroll expenses for the Pacifica National office except for the executive director. Is that right?
And NIDA.
NIDA is a contract expense, right?
Right, but they're also our accounting staff,
I thought
too.
We have
and
also
the also and the accounting staff includes the ICFO, the interim chief financial officer.
Okay.
That's coming out of NIDA as well. So we're
the
paying
ICFO
them for that as well.
Is part of the NIDA contract. It's not
that
a staff person. So we only have one staff person and P&O. Is that correct?
Right, and they're remote.
And they're not in a physical
exactly.
office.
Exactly.
Okay, great. And then just the last thing, I mean, is it true that WBI did have like a bequest of between $600,000 and $700,000 that did that go
that
to the national
That
office?
Bequest was allocated earlier this year.
Uh-huh.
And I'm so sorry. My name is Sabrina Jacobs.
Yeah.
And as far as I'm concerned, I'm still the acting vice chair. But there's been a lot
of
the Pacifica National Board. I also host and produce my own show, A Rude Awakening, on Mondays at 3:30. Mm-hmm. I also do the KPFA author events, as well as doing time on the PNB. So I do volunteer. I do volunteer, Darlene. Just want to let you know. It's not all fun and games. Yeah. Just want to make sure I get that clear. Anyway, I apologize, Marilyn. Go ahead.
I was just asking, did that bequest come in?
That bequest did come in, and it was allocated by Grace Aaron. I guess she is calling herself the acting secretary right now. And pro tem. And that was not anything that was agreed upon by the Pacifica National Board. That was a decision that she made and presented to the National Finance Committee. National Finance Committee chair can verify that. And those allocations were all her doing.
I just bring that up because bequests, I guess, are not anything you can count on a regular basis, but
no,
they do
not.
Happen.
Unless you're knocking
the
these people off, exactly.
No, but they do happen, and it's something that we, it's good to encourage people to make that arrangement while they're still alive. And then when those do bequests, regardless of which station it is, it's great for our whole network whenever a bequest comes in. So I think we need to
absolutely
appreciate those.
Absolutely.
I don't believe there's any payroll in the national office because the current IED is a volunteer.
Right. In regards to that, to clear that up, I'm not exactly sure. They keep playing, they keep juggling who is the majority on the board as far as who they is juggling who the IED is. So we're not sure. But there is no, after Brunel was removed from his position, there hasn't been any payments. And that was as of October?
Yeah.
End of October. That would have been the last actual payment. He was being paid $10,000 per month. You're very welcome. Thank you.
Okay, it was Christine and then Darlene.
Just
So thank you, Sabrina. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Sharon, for the reports. Learning a lot of things here. And just two quick comments. Just like to echo what Tom was saying. So I would appreciate also to see numbers, written numbers, so spreadsheet or presentation or anything like this, maybe at the next meeting. No, you said that you had them, I think, at the past meeting, but there's
yes.
none yeah, today. So maybe at
Tom
the next
meeting.
Okay. Tom has them? Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe we can pass it. Okay. But, okay, maybe we can send it also by email to all the members of the LSB. That's the...
You have to get on the list.
Yeah. Okay.
Once you're on the list,
sorry?
She said you have to get on the list after that happens.
Yeah, which
list? She can do that. She'll put you on the
list
after this meeting.
I'm using these slides.
Perfect.
Okay.
Okay. Just want to know.
Little order,
please. Yeah. Highly appreciate that. Thank you. And just I would like to second also Frank's comment about this. I like this idea of, or is it a comment? I don't know, a question about this fund where we can help other stations who are, which are struggling financially. I think we are a network of stations, so let's not forget, you know, our also duty towards other stations. I think that's very important. And so if, you know, ideas like having a national fund drive, you know, each member giving $10 and things like this. So any ideas welcome. I think that's a very good idea. Okay. Thank you.
Darlene.
I just want to say something really quick. I just want to say also where you'll see that we have on February 1st the LSB orientation retreat. And part of the reason why is because I know you're getting hit with a lot of information right now. So even things like the email list and a lot of documents, we actually are going to hand those out at that time. But, you know, of course, you're entitled to stuff before that, too. But just so you know, that's part of why we have the retreat is to help you guys understand a lot of this very, very complex information.
Thank you, Sharon, for clarifying that. And Darlene? Can you
I've took it upon myself at one point to take two big myths of Pacifica that are operating right now. One is the myth of the WBAI bequest, and the other was more locally the myth of the missing, of the check that was forgotten in the drawer. So I went way down to find the people who actually were involved. I decided not to write it up at that time and share because I thought it would just add to the argument. It would be, yes, it did, and no, it didn't, and they didn't say that really, and blah, blah, blah. And I thought it just would add to the defensiveness that we all were in at that point. But if I could get from our finance people, if you think it would be useful to get first person accounts of both of those financial mythologies, I'd be happy to do that and share it with the board. And you could talk to me later.
Yeah, I just want to say something about bequests, okay? They do come in, it is true, and they are important to the station as a whole and to Pacifica as a whole. And, you know, it's very, very easy to focus on one bequest, which is what seems to be happening. And then a lot of focus is put on that one bequest while ignoring many, many other bequests that have come into the Pacifica network, some of which came to KPFA, and were also distributed to Pacifica. So it's like the more I learned about Pacifica, the more I learned that any story that you're likely to hear has about 10 other sides to it, literally 10. And before forming a judgment, maybe take the time to get some history, understand the real facts like Darlene did, because it's never as clear as it seems at that first statement that you hear.
I just wanted to thank Darlene for an email that was forwarded to me by Aki maybe a month or two ago. It threw so much clarity on these issues, and I thanked you for it at the time. I sent back a thank you, but I just wanted to publicly acknowledge that I found that very, very valuable. Very valuable for Pacifica to hear that, so I appreciate it.
Corina.
Great, thank you. Okay. Hi, everyone. hello to all the people I haven't met yet. I hope we get to talk one-on-one. It's a lot to digest. Just echoing, my first question was basically going to be what Christine said, like, hopefully on the list, whatever documents, info, stuff that I can, that we can look at and study up on would be super helpful. I do have a journalism background, and I love delicious facts, much more than, like, rumor, report, all that. I love that Darlene is doing that. That's like, that speaks to my journalistic soul. They're just like, no, I'm going to get the reports from the people. Yes, do it. Question about the fundraising stuff, like you were saying, you know, your numbers, dude, you're not a marketing guy, neither am I. Is there a dedicated fundraising subcommittee? Is there a place where these ideas, this research can be concentrated, get feedback, actually consult people who are doing that, and is there a way to contribute to that in, like, a formal way other than just, like, spouting things out here or on a listserv?
Yeah, I can answer that. The pro tem secretary of the Pacifica National Board at the time, she was the chair. That was earlier this year. When I was presenting, let me take it back a year and a half. I did my best to start development on the national level and was able to pull from past donors and all of that historical information of who donated, how much they donated, when they donated. Came up with a spreadsheet, did that for about a year or so. Wanted to continue the work. We went through all these different changes with the executive director, interim executive director, getting rid of this person, bringing in this person. When it came down to it, pro tem secretary now for the Pacifica National Board, Grace Aaron, said that there was no need for it. There wasn't any need for it. Why? I don't know.
Bummer.
Exactly. and then the rest of everything else happened. We had this issue with WBAI. It fell to the wayside, unfortunately. But it's not because there's been a lack of effort. Hopefully I'll get elected back to the Pacifica National Board. I'd like to go ahead and push through that and step away from the factionalization that's been going on in regards to, you know, who sides on what and focus on what's needed, which is money, and, you know, take it from there in regards to staying on the national board. So I would love to work with you if you're open to it. Hooray. Yeah, we can definitely get down and see what we can, you know, how we can make a difference. But that's the historical background. As far as I'm concerned, I'm sure there have been other efforts, but nothing consistent, unfortunately, because some people are just power hungry.
And I would also say this topic is going to not just, this will be revisited during the PNB reports, believe me. So I don't know if we want to go on still or if we want to, but we'll finish the stack now and then maybe we could move on and then take a break. And then, as I said, there'll be a lot more discussion after the PNB reports. Yeah. So Susan was next. Okay, Tim.
Okay, I'll try and keep this as quick as possible. There's two questions that I'm just unclear on still, and that is December 30th, Pacifica has to send a check to the loan people for the interest. Is there money in the bank to make the payment, and will the payment get made as far as we can tell? That's the first question.
Yes. Yeah. So the answer is yes. But I would encourage stations to not just think to themselves, okay, great, we don't have to do anything then, because we need to replenish those funds in order to move forward. And here's the anticipated thing. I'm just looking at Pacifica as a whole, and there's when you go to collect money from people, the ability of those people to pay is part of your figuring. And if you know that a certain number of those people are not going to be able to pay, you try to collect enough to meet the needs of your organization, whatever that happens to be. So I'm expecting that we'll go and ask everybody for interest payments. I'm expecting some stations will not be able to make them. But if the percentage is high enough, it'll get us through the end of the loan. So I don't want to discourage stations from making this part of their budget. I want them to try to make that December 30th payment if possible. But it hasn't even been elevated to the PNB at this juncture. And so there's no actual mechanism to send this out to the individual station right now. This is me encouraging individual stations. Hopefully it'll be the PNB encouraging individual stations shortly. So.
Second quick question. Has National borrowed money from KPFA either at the end of the last fiscal year or during this fiscal year above and beyond our central services? Thank you.
I don't know that yet. Myself and then Carol, and then we're going to take a break. Just quick follow-up question. Is the money there because it was put in escrow from the sale of our building in Berkeley that KPFA donors raised the money for?
I believe that money has actually already been allocated. So the money that's in the account right now was actually set aside from the bequest that was discussed earlier from WBII. There was $200,000 from that bequest, and not all of it is there, by the way, because we had a September payment, and we were short on it. So the money is already coming out of that account. $23,000 was removed in September. We were just that much short. And the rest had been paid through the previous escrow funds, which were set aside from the original setup of the loan.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah. Okay.
So my question is, John Verniel was working on trying to make changes at WBAI, and if he had been able to make those changes, what he would have done, that would have helped. My thought is that would have helped the creditors of our loan consider refinancing. But if there is continued leaking and failure at the stations that is ongoing, that will make it harder to have that possibility for renegotiating the loan when it comes up. One of my concerns, again, is how are we raising the money at those stations and what is the policy? And there are two different directions about how money is raised. One direction is, do we raise money through questionable premiums, or do we use political resources like they do, like use the Pacifica National Archives to raise money? And Sabrina, I wanted to ask you how you are seeing that division, those two directions for fundraising of, health and beauty marketplace or, using political-oriented materials.
Well, given our history, our long, rich, beautiful history, Pacifica Network, of being left, hard left, I think it's very important that we keep that going. That's what's keeping us on the map. Can you turn my levels? I can't hear myself. Again. Thanks. And I talk really low. Anyway, I would say we should keep going, especially in this very, very volatile political atmosphere that we're in this country, that we keep going with the political side as far as our premiums are concerned. Health and beauty aids, you can go to Sephora.com for that if it's really that necessary. I don't think we need to be offering that up on our airwaves in any way, shape, or form. And as far as the numbers are concerned, I guess you could speak to that in regards to KPFK and their pushing of health and beauty aids on their airwaves. I don't understand it.
Sure. I can only talk generally about that, and that's that the stations that tend to offer these premiums are actually at the lower end of the per membership contribution level. Now, that could be due to demographic factors as well. I don't know because I haven't analyzed the figures. I'm just saying that there is an apparent correlation. What that correlation actually means needs to be deeply analyzed, I guess, if you really want to find out. But KPFK and WBAI both have the highest number of fund days, drive days per year, and the lowest number, the lowest per membership annual contribution of any station in the network, in that order.
Okay, and so those are the stations that push the health and beauty aid premiums. Okay, so there's your answer then.
What?
Questionable health and beauty aids. Yes, that is correct. Those health and beauty aids that have been offered on KPFK and WBAI airwaves, our LA and New York units, have been questioned by the FDA and several other governmental organizations as far as their efficacy. I can spell that. It's a double F and a double C. Okay. Double F, that's a fail. Their efficacy and, proof to be, the real deal. So we need to stay away from that. We don't need any more lawsuits. Sure.
On the subject of fundraising, one of the things I noticed from the books that I found really alarming was that the amount of revenue that's coming into PRA, Pacific Radio Archives, has dropped 75% over the last year. Now, there's a number of ways of looking at that, but I think the easiest and simplest way to look at it is we're not offering those items as premiums. Now, when we do that, we shoot ourselves in the foot two ways. One is that PRA has overhead. And their tapes are deteriorating, and that is a precious resource, an asset that we need to preserve as an institution. And it's terrible that we're not doing that. That's number one. Number two is that if we're actually sending that revenue to PRA, it helps do those things. It helps cover that overhead. If we don't do that, then that money gets drawn through central services because there's no other place to draw it from. So we really need, as an institution and as individual stations, to keep pushing those premiums that help generate revenue for our precious archives. Invest in ourselves, yes.
Can you say what the archives are?
Yeah.
PRA, Pacifica Radio Archives. I just want to say one thing also on the question, because I just saw something today on the email listservs, which are not the local ours, but there's like a Pacifica Radio Waves list, which is just more generally open. And it was stated that 30% of WBAI's fund drive money comes from Gary Null and his questionable health products. So you see, when we talk about programming and how to make Pacifica better, I think, how is our mission being served when 30% of the fund drive money is coming from health products and not from our, news, public affairs, and music, of course, and culture that we should be doing as part of our mission.
Yeah. Carol wanted the question answered about what the archives actually are. So the archives are a collected history as a network. It's 50-plus years of taped recordings, 70-plus years, I'm sorry, of taped recordings in various conditions of decay, unfortunately. And if we don't get to getting these things transferred into a digital format, we're going to lose them. So it's really important that we raise money for that particular part of the network so that we preserve that history, which is all of ours.
Yeah, in fact, I think last year they found a speech by Martin Luther King Jr. that nobody had ever heard it. That's the kind of thing that's in our archives. And
just to speak to Mark Torres, he actually runs PRA, Pacifica Radio Archives. It's not for lack of trying. He has been trying to find an organization. I think he was able to talk to Steven Spielberg's organization, I forget the name of it, that would help with digitizing. He's been trying to talk to some universities to try and help archive and save those precious pieces from the past. So hopefully he'll be able to work that out. It's been difficult for him because he hasn't been getting any type of backup from the National Board because of our other crap that we've been dealing with. So.
Okay, let's have a break. We'll be back in 15 minutes. It's about 205 right now, so 15.